Hello, my name is Mike Talty and I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is one of a continuing set of short screencasts that provides something of a tour of the networking stack in Silverlight 4. This is really based on the Silverlight 4 beta and also on Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. The videos will make probably more sense if you watch them in the order they were made, and this would be video 7. So we've run through some of the topics. The last topic we looked at in video 6, we're still in the sort of realm of HTTP, was how we could use integrated authentication inside of IIS and how that sort of worked with the browser prompting. If we were using the browser stack or the client stack inside of Silverlight, they both prompted for credentials, and we saw how that worked, and only the client stack could be programmatically manipulated in terms of those credentials, and we saw how that worked as well. So kind of continuing that theme, let's take a look here in video number 7. And let's take a look at forms authentication, where you're putting a Silverlight player or a Silverlight client or a Silverlight app onto an existing site that has some kind of protection in terms of forms authentication. So let's drop over to Visual Studio again. And over in Visual Studio, the code is really as it's been since it was in video 1. We have a website. The website hosts in this files folder a posts.xml file. Just a big XML file with some elements in there under post. And it also hosts a Silverlight application. And the Silverlight application has a class that corresponds to that sort of structure of XML, a class called post with a title, a description, and a pub date. And it knows how to take a link to XML X element and turn that into a post by looking into those elements called title, description, and pub date. So it's pretty simple stuff. And then we have a UI that drives a button press. And the button goes ahead and calls this function here, where we are using still the web client class, and we ask it to go and download post.xml asynchronously. And when it's done that download, we use link to XML to load up the resultant stream. We reach in looking for all the elements called post, and we then construct posts from them and put them on the screen with data binding. And so when we press F5, spring up the application such as it is, we get our button, and our button goes off and gets data. So let's play with that a little bit. Let's go back to our IIS management, which is just kind of over here. And on that files folder, which is where the XML file that the application tries to load, let's go and you can see I've got forms authentication switched on, and I'm using ASP.NET membership. We could also then go and disable anonymous. And so what that means is if we go back to the application and run it up again, the application is not protected by forms authentication, but the data, the posts.xml file, is behind forms authentication. So when we click on our button, well, we just don't get any functionality, and that's because of my poor error handling that we've got there right now. So the application is not authenticated, and consequently the request is not authenticated, and so this just doesn't work the way it stands right now. So we could make that work, and it's kind of interesting in the sense that we could go and I think I have a login page on this site. Excuse me, I just missed the URL. So it's missing a style sheet, but here's a login control for ASP.NET, so I can log into membership, and it just redirects to a default page. And now I am actually authenticated. I've got a cookie that says I'm logged in on that site. And that means that if I go back to the client, which was video test page, I've got that cookie, so when I go and click on this Get Data button, it will go and get the data because it's transmitting that cookie across, and so consequently I am logged in and everything's fine. That's because I'm on the browser stack. If I was to move to the client stack, as you know, we can do that by lots of different ways, but one way is just to say that all HTTP requests go over the client stack. Then let's press F5 again, run this back up in the browser. And of course, initially it's not going to work anyway because we're not logged in, but if we go over to the login page, let's just do that, and we'll log in over here. Oops. Okay, so we're logged in. And then we go to the page that actually serves up the Silverlight app, and then we try to get data. We aren't logged in. And this is a really important point to make, that we've just moved to the client stack, and you've been learning, if you're watching these things, about some of the capabilities of the client stack, but it isn't sharing cookies with the browser stack. So there's a mismatch here in that the browser stack actually has a cookie which we would like, but we don't have it. And so I don't think, I'm not aware of a way that you can reach in and grab that cookie from the browser stack and magically get it across onto the client stack. So the way that you might go about getting around that is by using something like ASP.NET Forms Authentication as a service. You can actually expose it as a web service and then call that on the client stack to pre-authenticate the user that way, and then they would have, you would have that cookie ready to go. So you can actually use it as a service and do it that way. So if we wanted to do that, then we need to just make some changes to our website. Let's go and take a look at that. So this stuff is coming straight from the documentation for ASP.NET Client Application Services. And what you do is you go to the website and add a new SVC file. So we'll just go and add a new item. And I'll make it as a text file just to avoid throwing in a bunch of stuff that I don't want. So I'm going to call this auth.txt in the first instance, and we'll just change the name to be SVC. So let's just take that and we'll turn it into an SVC file. So we'll just say auth.svc. And I just want to paste something into that WCF service definition straight from the documentation. Okay, so just paste into this that we have a authentication service. This is coming from ASP.NET. So there's nothing that we have to do around that except configure it up. So if we go over to our config file again, there's a bunch of stuff to paste in here really from the documentation. So let's go and do some of that. And we're just pasting in. And what this is really doing, I don't know that this is actually the minimal set of configuration, it might be a smaller configuration, but this is what the docs seem to suggest, is that we are switching on the authentication service as a web service, and then we're configuring that up in WCF over the basic HTTP binding. Now, just to be really clear about this configuration that I've got here, let's just space it out a little bit, is that I am not using HTTPS for mine, whereas really you should and have to use HTTPS. So I've just switched that off just for the purposes of demonstrating this, so I don't have to keep typing in longer URLs with my full domain name on them. But you would use HTTPS in order to secure this stuff, otherwise you're really wasting your time. So let's see, with that configured, if we go and then look at our auth service in the browser, then we can see we do have a WCF service for that. So we should then be able to go to our Silverlight client that we've been working on and add a service reference to that. So we'll add a service reference. I'll go to Discover. I'm going to the auth service, and we'll call this proxy code. And we'll just click OK on that. And so we're getting a bit of ahead of ourselves in that we've wandered into WCF, but just to make the video complete, really. And what we need to make sure is that on that proxy code, what it's going to do is send back a cookie. So we need to make sure that in the client configuration, which is where I've just wandered into, that we do have enable HTTP cookie set to true. I'm also going to make it point to my local host instead of this long domain name, so let's just put local host in there, because that's fine. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if we're doing HTTPS, which is one of the reasons why I just kind of avoided it here. So with that service in place, what we need to do is we need to call that service, get ourselves authenticated, get the cookie back, and then transfer that onto any subsequent requests that we make. So let's go to our code where we actually go and make the request. And at the moment, we're on the client stack. And what we need to do is now go and authenticate ourselves. So what we'll do is we'll say proxy code dot authentication service client. So this is just a proxy. And we'll say, OK, let's create one of those. Then we'll say proxy dot login async plus equals, let's just add an event handler to this. Oh, sorry, I'm actually using the, it should be dot login completed. I was using the function rather than the event. So let's just add an event handler to this, and what this will do is we'll say if e.error is null, then we'll say get data when logged in. And before that, we need to say proxy.loginasync and pass it a username and password. So we have, this is from ASP.NET membership. And I think that can be null. We'll say true. And we'll leave that function at that. So this is now an additional step we're using. When you click the get data button, we make sure we're on the client stack. We go and try and log in with ASP.NET membership services. And that should give us a cookie back. and then we call getDataWhenLoggedIn. And one thing I need to make sure is that in that function we have access to the cookie container of the proxy. So we're going to pass that in. So let's go and write that function getDataWhenLoggedIn. So we'll say void getDataWhenLoggedIn. That's going to take a cookie container. Now, previously we were using web client, but I don't think with client we can actually get to the cookie container that it's using. So we need to use HTTP web request for this. So let's go and use HTTP web request instead. So we'll say HTTP web request, let's call that request, equals, and we'll just say web request.create, and what we want is a web request for HTTP localhost videos files post.xml. That's the file we keep reading again and again. And then we need to say request dot, let's make sure the cookie container is the same container that we've already got, and then we'll say request.begin get response, giving this a callback, which is just an iasync result. And we'll be a bit lenient about this, so we'll just say in this function we'll just say HTTP web response. When that completes, we'll say the response equals request.end get response, passing it the result. Maybe we should put that on one line over there. Now we've got a response and a stream, so we can say stream equals response dot get response stream. Bear in mind, of course, that this could well throw an exception. And once we've got that response stream, we should be able to steal some of the code we've already got, which takes a stream and makes it into XML. Let's just get rid of some of the code we were using earlier on. So again, we start to get the response. When that completes, we finish that request, we get the stream that contains the data, and then we try and load that up using link to XML. Let's close that response stream when we finish with it. And remembering that having pulled out our elements from that XML, we need to be careful to make sure we're on the right thread. So let's say dispatcher.beginInvoke and just pass this work across to that particular thread. And I think I'd want to make sure that we'd executed that before we got there. So let's just make sure we turn this into a list a little bit aggressively up front. So let's just see what we've done. We need to cast this guy up as an HTTP web response. Now let's just review what we did here. So what we did was we changed things. I'm not sure where it's going to work yet. Such that when you click the button on the screen, we make sure we're on the client stack. Then we go ahead and create an instance of the proxy to the ASP.NET authentication service. We ask that to log us in asynchronously, which will send us back a cookie. And in fact, I notice we haven't created a cookie container, so let's just make sure we create one of those up front. So we've got one of those set up. When the login completes, if it worked, we will call into our other function with that cookie container. So that should have an ASP.NET authentication cookie on it. When we come in here, what we're going to do is use HTTP web request to go and get the posts file. We specify the cookie container. Then asynchronously, we get the response. When that response comes back, we grab the stream from it and we try and load that as XML, and then back on the UI thread we put that and data bind to it. So let's see where that gets us. I'd be surprised if it works first time, but let's just run this back up. And so what we're doing now is when we call get data, we go off and authenticate. That's just a first chance exception that we saw there. And in fact, actually, we do get data straight away. And just to try and illustrate how that's actually working out, what we could perhaps do is use a tool like Fiddler to see that actually going on. But Fiddler doesn't work with local hosts, so what we'd have to do is change our reference to use a real host name. So let me just change this to use a real host name. And if we were to make sure that our application was requesting things from this host, so if we go back to our code and change local host into this host again, then we could run up a tool like Fiddler. Let's just go and run up Fiddler and let that run up. And then if we run the application and make sure that it's coming from the real host name, and then we get the data, Don't worry about that exception, it's a first chance exception. The data comes back. Shut that down. Let's take a look at what happened in Fiddler. And you can see that what happened was we made a request to the authentication service. And if we look at what came back from that, we can just have a look at the headers that came back from that. You'll see that the authentication service sent us back an ASPX cookie, an auth cookie. And then when we made a request for the posts file, we should have forwarded that ASPX cookie, which we did. So hopefully you get an idea as to how this has flown along. From the point of view that the browser stack, of course, automatically forwards cookies, the client stack doesn't. But still, we can do smart things in terms of using ASP.NET membership and forms membership, as it is, as a web service, if we need to get those authentication cookies onto that client stack.